Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Hello, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And I know you have a couple callers. I'll let you know when they call in and we'll be standing by.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody this Wednesday evening. Thank you for joining us tonight, listening to Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? It is the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? The captives being set free, that's what it is. People who are set free from sicknesses, illnesses, from depression, from suicide, from drug addiction, from pornography addiction, from just about anything the enemy has thrown at them. And how is this done? It's done through the process called deliverance. All accomplished by everyday Christians like you and me. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com. That website is fully functional, set up to help Christians to do everything they need to do when it comes to the works of Jesus. You've got training, self-deliverance, prayers, the problem list, different types of prayers to help overcome through Masonic ties, through Masonic, being descendants of Masonics and other things, how to clean out houses, a lot of different things there. Or, if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way and read a book, Pastor Cox has written an excellent book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. 40 years of experience laid out, a step-by-step process, easy to read, lays out the scriptures, gives examples, testimonies, and shows you how to cast out demons and evil spirits. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that. He will get it out to you. Well, Pastor, I saw from the email a potential of 37, I think, this Monday
night.
Well,
that was how, that's how many were scheduled. I actually got to 38,
yes.
But it's so typical. Those that schedule don't always make it. The enemy certainly talks quite a few of them out of coming, and we've seen that where people would say they tried to come for a year, some would even circle the block but just couldn't come in the door. And then others I've heard, they got up the door and couldn't open it. The enemy all this time, that is the demonic, is yelling in their ear, don't go there, because they'll lose their house. So, yes, that was what we had scheduled, but we wound up doing 21 cases, which is a reasonable number, and we had a minister for each. It was a great evening, and I had a great case. All the steps worked perfectly, and it was just awesome. And then I had a case this afternoon that the cases worked well, the steps, that is. And this guy had actually been in the Mormon church, and he said he was born again, but if he wasn't, he certainly was today. And we worked through that, and then we got into the ministry and worked through ungodly soul ties, and then through the traumas he had of the past. He'd been abused before even, and then I got the head demon up, which was hatred. And the head demon hatred, in his interview with this man, I had found out that he had a heart valve problem and at some point might need an operation. And he'd been in a lot of fatigue. That was actually the first thing, his biggest issue, when I interviewed him. And sure enough, I got that head demon up interrogating it. And I commanded to know, was it responsible for the heart valve problem? And it admitted yes. And I said, well, if you put it on him, you can take it off, can't you? Yes, it said. So I commanded it to remove that heart valve problem, to fix it and remove it, and bind all that up to him, advise me when it was done. And he finally said he had done it, and I had to, of course, interrogate to be sure he was telling the truth. Will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? He said yes. And there was other demons we dealt with and all, but when they were all cast out, he said this, one of the things, too, is circulation in his legs. He had a problem there. Well, he's feeling his circulation in his legs, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. And I told him to take a deep breath. He'd had a shortness of breath. And he took a deep breath, and it was a big deep breath. So, praise God, it really looks good that we were able to help him today. And he got the baptism. The Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues, besides having a short leg adjust out. So I said to him at the end, well, it looks to me like you got a Jesus overhaul. He admitted that he did.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking to yourself, what's this pastor talking about? What's he mentioning about the demon admitted it, put it on? And that is scriptural. I mean, we've seen the woman who was bound by Satan. And that was an illness that was put on her. And with our authority we have in Jesus, when we get to the root cause and find out it's there, we can command that to be released. And it's something that that is found often, especially when you're able to interrogate the head demon, you're able to bring it up. Doesn't happen in a lot of cases, but about 1 in 3. But it does help us because we have them as a prisoner of war, and these demons can give us a lot of intel because they're not the smartest in the world either. But they give us a lot of intel. So if a demon puts a sickness upon someone, maybe it's by assignment, maybe it's by curse, then we can command them to take it off.
That's right. We're seeing it more and more, and our ministers are ministering that way also, as they are able to get a head demon up. I also got the top 10 lies it was telling him, and also his God-given gifts. I had the demon disclose that, wrote them down on the yellow tablet. So he didn't know he had all those gifts, he said, that I wrote down. So pretty exciting. I'm still on a high, as maybe you can tell in my voice.
I can tell. Well, he may not know he had those. He may not know he had those gifts, but I guarantee you that those top 10 lies that he was probably, well, what he probably thought he was thinking is thinking those things himself. I have taken people I knew that I know through there and get a top 10 lies, and I've heard those words that they're giving out come out of their mouth many times. So the demons will lie to you. They'll lie to you to keep you from showing up, like it did the 17 or 18 people that didn't come Monday night. And those demons can lie so well, they can convince you that it's your own voice, that it's your own mind and your thoughts, and just be able to talk you out of something so easily.
That's right. And people are hearing that. They have no idea it's demons. They just think it's thoughts coming into their head. Well, they are thoughts, mm-hmm. but they're coming from the wrong side, the demonic. And they're always negative to try a defeating way and to lead the person down the wrong road.
That's right. And, of course, you can, if you have these thoughts that come and you're trained, and maybe the enemy is trying to get to you, and a thought comes and you're just not really sure about that thought, you can test the Spirit and ask it if it confesses what it told you to be true before Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I've done this from time to time. And when it says no, then I know it wasn't a good thought. It was the enemy. If it says yes, then I know it was a good thought and it was from the Holy Spirit, or just a thought that was working in my mind. It was positive. And another thing is, as Pastor Cox says, the negative. You can test these thoughts by their fruit. If these thoughts are not bringing you the fruit of the Holy Spirit, your joy, your peace, your patience, and your love, and these things that are there, then it's pretty good indication that they're from the enemy.
Yes. And they're good at it. They've had a lot of practice, frankly. And the lies today that was put on that man, it admitted it was doing a good job on him, and he was buying into him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and a lot of times those demons that are there, they've been in that family for years and knows the family, knows their DNA, knows their background, and probably knows them better than they know themselves.
Yes. See all that.
But praise the Lord. Luke 10:19 is still true today as it was the day it was written and spoken by Jesus, the apostles.
Yes. And I expect that man will be a good candidate for the radio show before long.
Well, hopefully. I think so, too. When you get a good Jesus overhaul, you get fired up and you want to testify. Especially when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get that newfound boldness. That newfound boldness that a lot of times Christians don't have.
Yes. That's so true.
Awesome.
That young man is getting ready to ask a woman to marry him. He'd been married before, and the demon of anger that he had messed up that marriage. And we got that out. I was one of the grouping in the group of demons that under the head demon. And so with that overhaul, he ought to have, and I know he will, a successful, wonderful marriage.
Awesome to hear. Well, Pastor, we have Tina. Tina, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello, yes. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Tina, I'm so glad you called in. That was Ralph up in the Branson area. And why don't you go ahead, Tina, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you heard about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so forth.
Okay, sure, I'd love to. I was rededicated my life back to the Lord Jesus Christ 5 years ago. I had backslidden and from wine, went to a restaurant and had steak dinner and had a couple glasses of red wine, and, you know, I'm thinking that was going to be okay, and one thing to another, and I would have another glass and this and that, and ended up drunk and just kept on, you know, just kept on into that sin, you know, just kept, you know, kept, just, that's what Satan got me with, was the alcohol, back with the alcohol, you know, the addiction of the alcohol. And so then I was backslidden for a few years there. And it was March 18th, 5 years ago, I had rededicated my life back to the Lord. And I was in church for, I think, for a couple of years, but not surrendered my life. You know, I was going to church, but still living in sin. And then on March 18th, that one morning, I just come to the end of myself and decided that day, I've had enough. You know, it's time to surrender. Tired of going in between this fence, or what, you know, riding both sides of the fence there. You know, still doing drugs, still drinking, fornicating, you know, but going to church on Sunday. I hadn't surrendered. But on March 18th, that morning, I, at that point, came to the end of myself and totally surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And back when I was in sin, you know, Satan will take you farther than what you'd ever dream. Farther, deeper into sin, you'll do things, or I did things that I never thought I would do. You know, even when after my divorce many years ago, and I started smoking pot, smoking weed, and you know, it seems innocent. You know, it's weed, you know, grass that grows from the ground, and it seemed innocent, but smoking weed, smoking pot is just a drug that will lead you to other drugs, stronger drugs. I don't think I know anyone possibly that just smoked weed and that was it. Most of everyone I know went to something stronger. And myself, it was cocaine at one time in my life. I did cocaine, and at one time in my life, part of my life, meth. And I remember even doing meth, like every weekend, I'll say every weekend or whatever it was, and I'd repent. I was a sinner, but I'd still repent over it every weekend and ask Lord, forgive me and help me not to do it again. Then I did it again, and I still kept repenting, you know, asking Lord, help me, you know what I mean? And then finally one time, I remember it was a week went by and I didn't do it. You know, a month went by and I didn't. A year went by and I didn't get high. You know, I mean, then the years went by and I, you know, right? And through my faith in Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus, you know what? He had to reach way down when he reached down for me. And the Bible talks about, even though our sins are scarlet, deep sin, scarlet, we can be washed. Those deep sins can be washed white as snow, cleansed of all unrighteousness. I remember even doing, when I did cocaine, I remember one night, come in partying all night and laying on the couch and what you call coming down real hard. And I was just laying there, you know, just miserable, just coming down real hard off from it and crying out to the Lord, God, help me get off this. Help me. And it didn't happen immediately, but I did get free of that also. You know, like I said, Satan will take us. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ comes to give life and life more abundantly. If someone would have said even that I would end up in jail, I've got 3 DUIs from alcohol, you know, drinking and driving. And I would be even denied that I was even an alcoholic or, you know, had a problem with drinking, but I still got 3 DUIs, even though I went to jail 3 times for drinking and driving. And then I ended up getting sentenced 9.5 months in Oklahoma County time, county jail, county time, did, you know, went to jail. So all these times in jail for alcohol abuse, alcohol, you know, addiction. I was a slave to these addictions. I was a slave to sin, you know. But today I can tell you today, I've been set free. I'm not a slave to no sin. I'm not a slave. I belong to Jesus Christ. He set me free. Who the Son of God sets free is free indeed in the name of Jesus. And then I'm talking about the deliverance ministry. I met someone that was telling me, Azar, about the deliverance ministry, and I went over there and checked that out. And you know what we learned? What I learned about the deliverance ministry there is, it's those generational curses that's passed down from generation to generation to generation, generations of alcohol or drug abuse. That's from generation to generation. You just see, you know, from year, you know, generations of it, and you know, in my own family of it, for alcohol and drugs, drug addictions, that's been passed down from generation to generation. But we can be that generational curse is broken when that blood of Jesus, that bloodline, is changed now, and it's, I'm going to say it starts right now with me. That blood of Jesus, that blood, that generational curse now is broken. You know, that the sins of our fathers.
Praise God.
I say the sin, you know, right? Excuse me?
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God. The sins of our fathers. I mean, you can see, the Bible talks about the sins of our fathers or the sins of our ancestors. The sins of our ancestors, that generational, where my family would sit around the table and do fortune telling. I mean, back in the day, I didn't think nothing about it. It was just people at the table playing, you know, doing cards and stuff, fortune telling, witchcraft. And they're opening doors, generational. And that was generational, generation after generation, generations. I can, how many generations that was of people sitting around the table doing telling fortunes. But through the blood of the Lamb, yeah, through the blood of Jesus, those generational curses are broken. One person comes into Jesus Christ and get, you know, through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus, then that generational curse is broken once. But we have to identify it. That's what I learned at the deliverance ministry. We have to identify it. We have to identify what's the generational curse in my family. Divorce. Right? Divorces, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, fortune telling. But we got to identify what it is so then we can address it. Right? That's what I really learned through the deliverance ministry. You know, identifying what it was and addressing it and breaking that generational curses off from my family from generation to generation. From generation to generation. And now,
Gina,
in my life, what's going on, we'll say,
Gina,
almost three years ago.
Gina, when you were ministered to with Susan, did you feel those demons, coming out, or what was it like?
Well, you know, at that point, I mean, to me, it was more of, was a learning thing. I mean, I can't really say that I had any demons because I was already filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Ghost fire. You know, there no demon can live where the Holy Spirit's living, right? The same temple.
No, they hang out in the body area.
In the Holy Ghost, like every day.
In the body.
You know? Yeah.
They hang out in the body and the soul area, mind, will, emotions. But yes, as a born-again Christian, your spirit man is totally secure, but the demons that are in the body, we run into that all the time, and the sickness spirits, of course, are in the body, spirits of infirmity and all. I just wonder if you had any yawns or coughs or burps or anything like that as they came out. A lot of people do, but you don't have to. Some people are ministered to, they never feel a thing the whole day, whole evening, and then and yet they're free from the things that were addressed. Did you experience any of that?
Well, I was yawning, and I was yawning some.
Yawns are real common, and those spirits come out. Yeah. the guy I ministered to today, in the first part of the ministry, he was yawning them out. So always exciting. Well, it sounds like you're doing well now, aren't you, Tina?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's nothing like being set free. Because those, I can say today, the chains are gone. Who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. You know, the Bible says it's the anointing. It destroys the yoke. It destroys that yoke of bondage. If I took a glass and threw it on the floor, you can't pick up that glass and put it back together with super glue. Destroyed means Satan can't come back and put that bondage, whatever that bondage was, whatever that addiction was, that Satan can't come back and put that addiction back on me, you know, or anyone else. It's all, not unless we go back into it on our own free will, you know, in our own free will.
That's right.
Satan himself cannot put it back on. It's anointing that destroys the yoke, the bondage. It's anointing.
Yes. You've been there and done that, so you don't want to open any doors to let them come back in, for sure.
Right. You're right. Right. Absolutely.
Well,
yeah, you got to keep the doors closed. Like we know, the Bible says, guard our hearts. Guard our hearts, for the issues of life flow from our heart, which means watch what you're watching on television. Watch what you're reading. Guard your ears. What are you listening to? What kind of music? What are you listening to? Are you listening to curse words? Demonic? Curse words is demonic. Are you listening to evil movies, horror movies, or whatever it is, demonic. I mean, all this is opening doors. Anything like that can open doors. We got to watch comes in our ear gates and our eyes. We got to guard our heart. For the out of our heart is the issues of life. Yes, we must definitely guard our heart at all times.
Yes. Praise God. Well, have you been sharing with others where they might want to get delivered as well?
Yes. I've actually I do street preaching, and I'm over here on Southwest 44th in Pennsylvania here in Oklahoma City. Kind of like stepped in the ministry on June 2nd, 2018, 3 years ago. Didn't even plan on it. Yeah. Driving down the street one day and go by this city rescue mission, and the Lord just went, pressed in my heart real hard, like, I want you to preach there. And I turned around, made a U-turn in the street, went back, and asked them what time they fed and everything, and I went back on June 2nd, 2018 at noon, and I didn't even know the name of the place, the name of the rescue mission, and this girl was videoing me on my phone, videoing it. And I turned around, and it was Grace Rescue Mission down in Exchange there. And come to find out, my little granddaughter, Jordan, went in the hospital at noon, and at 10:37 p.m. that Saturday night, that same night, gave birth to her little girl and named her Grace. Confirmation.
Wow.
That's what I'm getting out of that. Yes, so I do. I've been doing street preaching. Out on the streets here. My post now is on 44th and Penn. It's where the Lord just really got me right now. I've had, doing street preaching, I have been handcuffed. I've been put in the back of the police cars, patted down, threatened to take him to jail. One policeman kept coming out 5 times. He said, I've been out here 5 times in this hall, you know, people calling on me because they don't want me preaching. And if I come out again, Miss Hall, I'm going to take you to jail. I said, that's okay, because when I get out, I'm coming back, and I'm not going to quit preaching. And me and him went back and forth, though. He goes, if you come back, I'm taking you to jail. And I said, that's okay. When I get out, I'll come back. And, you know, we just went back and forth. You know, the thing is, I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit lifting up the name of Jesus.
Well, amen.
Because Satan knows there's power in that name, in the name of Jesus. And he wants to intimidate us. And that's a spirit of intimidation. You know, the enemy wants to come in and try to intimidate me. But he's got the wrong person. Because I've already been to jail. I know all about jail. I know what time breakfast is. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a bologna sandwich. You know, I mean, I know what to wear, what they wear in jail, orange. You know, I know all about jail. If I have to go to jail for preaching the gospel, then that must be where the Lord wants me. I'm more than willing to go to jail for preaching. I'm not going to stop preaching.
Yeah. You can preach in the jails, can't you?
Sure can. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in there that need to hear the good news that Jesus saves.
Amen. Well, we're about out of time. What would you say, remaining minute or so, to the listeners before we wind up, Tina?
Yes. If there's any mother or father, grandmother that has a loved one that's on drugs or alcohol, don't ever give up praying for them. Just keep pleading the blood of Jesus over them. Keep praying and asking the Lord to save them. And he promised, just like my family, and I'm believing the Lord says, I will save you and your household. And that's, we're talking again, there we go, we're talking about generations. He will save my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, right? We can believe for generations and generations of our families to be saved, that our whole families will come in to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our whole families will be saved. It don't matter what kind of addiction, no matter what it is, how bad they may look like the devil themselves, addicted, you know, on that strong addiction, you know, whatever it may be. It don't matter how bad it looks at this time. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than any addiction. The way I look at it, we don't need a 12-step program. We need the one-step program, and that's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Can instantly set anyone free. Instantly. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of the Lamb that sets people free. The chains can be broken, all chains broken by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
There's always hope.
Well.
There's always,
you know,
hope.
That was a great testimony. Sure appreciate you sharing. And God
yes.
bless you.
Well, thank you
Bye-bye.
So much for having me on your program.
Great to have you.
I don't think she's fired up, do you?
Amen. Love it.
So early on, she was talking about the addiction and with drugs and how she would do it and then repent of it, but still did it again, repent of it. I can really relate to that. That was the way I was early in my life. And I hated myself, what I was doing, and I just didn't know how to stop. I didn't want to do it. I couldn't tell you how many times, oh, I swear I'll never do it again. And, you know, sometimes it would be days, weeks, months. Sometimes it would be the very next hour. But, you know, I had never even considered it was being caused by a spirit. And once that spirit was gone, the flesh was very easy to control.
Yes.
So
true. Most people have no idea. That's why we're on the radio tonight sharing it.
That's right. Well, Pastor, we have Melissa. Melissa, thank you for calling this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Hi, Melissa.
John, from my testimony.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Melissa, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself. Give some history on yourself first, and then when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so forth. I'll go right ahead.
Okay. Well, okay, number one, let's see. I received Christ as my Savior at 24. I was on, I had a really rough life with my parents and being on drugs, and I just said, God, I can't deal with this. I need you in my life. And he came into my life. 1993, I received the Holy Spirit, fully blown. I was shy before, and when I got the Holy Spirit, I was bold, and oh my goodness. And I've been walking with Christ ever since. And but let's go back a little more, and I was born into Catholic, into the Catholic religion. And my dad kept taking us to church when we were teenagers because he knew that the only way he can get us to church is by buying us a hamburger. So we went. And so go back to where the Holy Spirit came in, and I went to a church in Oklahoma City of 24 years. And I had a confirmation that God wanted me to work with children on a large group of children. And I walked in that because we had a Youth America, and it was 700 kids for 7 weeks. So I helped out with that. And then I started doing a mission trip to Mardi Gras. Well, I was working with the homeless before I started working, did the mission trip. So, but anyway, I was on a mission trip, and it was my third year, and I was sitting on a bench with two girls, and some guy came up to me and said, God wants to use you with children. So I said, well, that's my second confirmation, and I said, I'm going to walk into that. So I started working with disabled kids in high school. And now I'm working with autism children in a middle school. So I love that. I love what I do. And I'll go back to, I was hoping to go through my little story here because I wrote everything down while I was at church tonight. And we were in the class with the Holy Spirit, so I went, last yeah. Monday was the first night I went to Deliverance Ministry. That was my first experience. And let me see. My purpose to come that night was to stand in the gap for my husband. LOL, I thought, hey, I'll just go up there and see what's going on and see what I got to do for my husband because I can't get, I'd invite him into church and he wouldn't come. I would invite him all the time to church, he wouldn't come. So, of course, we've been married for 43 years. You can tell we've been married back in the day when we wasn't in church. And so I was delivered from bondage that night, and that held me back from completing freedom. Wait a minute. Let me reword that. I was delivered from bondage that held me back from complete freedom. Yeah. I had to be freed first, so it was so good. I learned so much. I was blessed with the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. I came with no money that night on me. I was given an assignment when we were done. Tuesday morning, I started the topic, the page, praying for someone at a distance. For my husband, Steve, was off of work for 6 days with pain, sleeping, no energy, and weak. I believed on what I spoke out loud. He had a miracle. Wednesday, last week, he went to work. My husband is amazing. This week, he came home earlier in pain. Today, and that's for 2 days. Today, I was asked if I wanted a prayer, and I said yes. So my counselor prayed with me in the Deliverance Ministry. I love the way she prayed over me. my life and our husband's. My husband played 90 or Air 1 on in his truck, and this was the first time I heard it in his truck. He had an appointment with his surgeon, and his surgeon said he didn't need surgery. This is doing the supernatural works of Jesus. I love it. And I'm so glad that God to experience it for other people. And that's my story.
Well, praise God. And I appreciate that on the book. You know, it's not just a book. It's a book manual on how to do these things of ministry, just like that praying for someone at a distance. Hopefully that will enable them to reach out. And also you're breaking down the demons that are bothering a person and then asking Jesus to come talk to them. So sounds like that worked pretty well with your husband.
Yes. I'm seeing that. And I'm going to let God take care of him. I can't.
Yes, amen. That's awesome. So,
yes.
Have you been sharing what your experience was with anyone, or what's happening at this time?
Well, the day that he went to work and he got his miracle, I was shouting and dancing, hallelujah. Because
yes,
it was God. I finally see it. And you're not going to believe this. Before I went to Deliverance Ministry, I was asking people to pray for him. I was posting scriptures all over my house. And I'm like, wait a minute. After doing what I did in that book, worked, the miracle I've seen. And I was amazed how fast it worked. Because it's doing the work of Jesus.
You know, that's quite an amazing thing that Jesus actually told us to do that in John 14:12. As I've often said, I have to pinch myself on that one. Who am I? I'm a businessman of a background and all. And who am I to be doing this? But when you read it, Jesus said in John 14:12, in my name, we believers are to do the same works that he did in the New Testament. Whatever he did in the New Testament, you and I are supposed to be doing. Is that wild or what? How cool.
Yes, and I was mentioning about working with the homeless before I started going to a mission trip with Jesus to Mardi Gras. Well, I'm back working with the homeless now, and I'm sharing what Jesus means to me to other people on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not only that.
That's right.
I have a girl who is making goodie bags to give to the homeless. But I'm reaching out to people. If they want to bring some stuff to these goodie bags, they're bringing it to me. And she's making the bags, and I'm giving them out.
Wow. Oh, cool. Well, they're everywhere. The lady that was on with her testimony before you tonight, she's been reaching out on the street a lot. Some of the places like Salvation Army and all, and doing some preaching here and there and just doing the works of Jesus, you know, telling about the gospel. And that's what we're all supposed to be doing. You know, right, a lot. I didn't do it until I was age 44. I was born again, but I didn't do anything else. And I can tell you what, it's the greatest fulfillment that I have ever experienced in all the things I've done in my life. Nothing comes close to actually ministering to someone and especially seeing the results. I had a wonderful case today where a man got a healing on a heart valve, and he was set free in all kinds of ways, and had had a divorce before. His anger problem had ruined it, and got anger cast out and so forth. So it's very fulfilling that the Lord would use us to do these things in His name, and He's using you, Melissa, obviously, and He'll no doubt use you much more. Where do you think He'll take you from here?
Oh, you know, we had a Holy Spirit class tonight at church, and we got to share, when did God talk to you? And I think the most powering, I mean, I did many things in New Orleans, sharing Jesus with people there because they really need Jesus. They're searching for all kinds of stuff. They're hurt, and they're trying to fulfill that hurt, which is a symptom. But junk, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And I got to really, I have such a blessing for, such a heart for New Orleans, Mardi Gras. And to reach them for Christ. There's a lady that I got to share. She was a tarot card reader in the Jackson Square. And she would always shoo the Christians off. The Holy Spirit let me sit with her and talk with her and share with her the Holy Spirit. And I was there for some time. And when I did that year, I mean, the Holy Spirit led me to talk to her. I would go back to find Elizabeth. Elizabeth ain't there. Every year I would go find her. She's not there. And I don't believe that I could. There's me and Jesus planted a seed, and the seed has grown.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Well, that's doing the works of Jesus again. Have you ever thought about going through our training and learning how to do this deliverance?
I think I would like to, because I like to add that to, you know, what God is doing in my life, because I know I have a calling on me. And I just thank God that I walked in that calling. And it's not about me, it's about other people.
Mm-hmm.
But after I've seen what this ministry does for my husband, yes. I've already have a girl that wants to come to Monday night that wants to quit smoking.
Uh-huh.
I have a girl that has cancer.
Okay.
She's like, what? I need to know more. I have another girl who had abuse when she was a child. She wants to know more. So I'm reaching. God's leading me to those people. Let's bring them in. Bring them in.
Praise God. Well, the need is much, and most people don't know where to go get relief.
Yeah, just like my husband.
Until somebody tells them, you know. Yeah. So our job is to try to spread the good news, you know, of all this. Yeah. Well, praise God. In the remaining time that we have here, we actually got some minutes, but why don't you, as we wind up, go ahead and share what you'd like to say to the listeners.
God has
as we close out
to our life, and He's a free gift. Receive Him. He loves you. God loves you. He never said, I'll leave you. You're the one that said you will leave God. But God wants you. He's your Heavenly Father. And Jesus, he brought Jesus into this world so that we can invite him into our hearts so we can have freedom. And with this ministry, you really have freedom through the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And if you don't have that,
yes,
you're bondage to the devil, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're blaming it on God? No, God's will is for you to be healthy.
Amen. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for sharing. That was a great testimony, and had to encourage others. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you again.
God bless you, and thank you for having this ministry, and I'm so glad. You know, we have a Road to Redemption group at my church, and one of the girls shared this on our group page, and I said, you know, I'm listening to people telling me about, you know, the cancer girl, the girl that was abused. I know I'm taking a little more time. I should have said this too. But she said she was invited to the deliverance ministry from a girl who works at the church on the bridge. She said, oh, it's my daughter's thing. Come with me. That's how she got set free. And so she posted that on our group page, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to fight for my husband, because my husband ain't fighting for himself. And so that's when I decided to go. And I'm glad I saw that on the group page. And I'm glad I introduced it to people already before I even got there.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for that. And, you know, be sure and have them register. The easiest way is to register online, you know, on our website. And you can get to it by Ralph?
DeliveranceUSA.com.
That's right. And that'll lead you to Deliverance Ministries. But, yeah, that's easier to remember, DeliveranceUSA.com. And then Deliverance Ministries will show up, and they can register online. They'll see a place where to do that, because otherwise they might wind up in group if they don't get registered early.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
if we don't have enough ministers.
So I'm just glad that we become sisters in Christ in such a short time.
Yes, that's awesome.
Because when there's Jesus, there's love.
Praise God. Well, we're out of time, Melissa. Thank you again for so much testimony there. It was awesome.
Yes, Melissa,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
I give God the glory because he's the one that ordered my steps.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for asking me to share my testimony on here, because it really matters for people who are out there wondering, where's God? Okay? So I will have to say good night, because this is it, right? Or I can go on and on.
Okay. Well, bye-bye. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good night. Boy, she told it too. I mean, they both laid it out and gave their testimony, and their testimony is helping overcome. And she's right, the testimony does help others when they hear these things. That's why we come on here each Wednesday night to give testimony. Testimony is there to help overcome. Maybe you're having some problems with addiction, depression, possibly suicidal thoughts. Maybe you're not having the life abundantly that Christians were to have. And Jesus told us his yoke was heavy. I was to take his yoke, it's light, and yet the yoke of the enemy is heavy. Is that yoke upon you heavy? It could be. It's thereby demonic oppression. And DeliveranceUSA.com is the website. Maybe you can't make it to Oklahoma City, but you can do some self-deliverance there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You get that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. They'll get it out to you if you need it. But we do thank everybody for joining us this Wednesday evening. It's always a pleasure to come on here and hear what Jesus has done for people in their lives. And just remember, as Pastor Cox talked about there in John, greater things than these you'll do also. We're here because we're not seeing that as a whole in the church world. We're not seeing these wonderful works, and that would be a sign that would follow them. They shall do these things. We want you to be able to do these things. We want to be able to arm you with these things, and we want to hear the testimonies of people that have had done these things. But we thank you for joining us. We'll be here next Wednesday. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.